Welcome to the Round 18 Supercoach Coach Podcast. Well, time's really flown by. There's only 5 weeks left of the Supercoach season. I'm Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone. Is this our 50th show this year, or have we not reached that many?
28 now, mate. We're almost down to 30.
We'll get there.
Yeah, and this week we've got a special guest to help, you know, break up our voices, which is nice, Mark. John or Dimowitz, also better known as the Supercoach Champ of 2013. He's on with us this week. So welcome, Dimmer.
Yeah, g'day, guys. It's good to be back. Sadly, under slightly different circumstances than last year. Hard to believe so much time's gone by, but good to be on.
And you've been away making good use of the Supercoach winnings, I hear?
Yeah, look, I'm proud to say I put them to good use and did a 12-month trip around the world, actually, and only just got back this month, so packed up the job and headed off and put the money to fantastic use.
Super
just got to do it again now so I can do it again. Yeah. Around the world on Supercoach. Hey? How good's that?
What dream
so your plan
made
is to win again.
Yeah, that's right. It's back on the list, so let's see if we can do it again.
So why don't you tell us how your year's been? Obviously, it would have had a bit of challenges being overseas. I know from my little holiday that it's very challenging. So I can't imagine, you know, you did your pre-season over there. That must have been quite tough.
Yes and no. I mean, the good thing of all those buses and planes meant that I could always sit back and think about it and read. I'd love to say that my ranking now had everything to do with the trip, but, you know, I tried to stay on top. I think the worst part was not having intuition on rookies to being able to see all those games that they always played. But I think for me this year, bad trades followed bad trades, and that kind of summed it up. I won't blame it on the trip. I had a great time and did my best.
Did you end up bringing Ablett in?
Yeah, brought him in right after his 189, hoping for more of those sorts of scores. I had held off really because I didn't have many trades left. I had four trades, I think, at the time, week before last. Saw his 189, just said, what am I thinking? Got to bring him in. Burnt two to get him in. Got his 12 or 22 after he did his knee and had to get rid of him last week. So that was just another unsuccessful trade to the list. But hey, I'm not the only one who faced that situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's been a few of our friends go down to limited trades with a late decision to bring him in. And the ones that didn't, sort of, we just took a huge gamble not bringing him in. And it's worked out really well for them in the end. How's your experience been with Rockliffe and Sloan types this year? Have you had them in a few times?
All of those guys have been on the merry-go-round that has been my sort of M6 or M7. I think that's what I was referring to. You know, bad trades follow bad trades. When you sort of bring someone in, you know, maybe a Jordan Lewis early in the season and you see his price plummet, I think like many people, I face the prospect of having to find, you know, that cheap premium around the 500 mark. And of course, what happens is you follow the pack, you have to pick up Sloan because you have no other option. And I just got caught in that same sort of injury cycle. And it meant that those PODs that other people were picking up when they weren't faced with that injury situation, the Hanabrys of the world, for example, early on, just meant that the pack raced away. And, you know, it's pretty easy to blame injuries. They happen, but I kind of think that it's always those people who manage to find their own path and pick up that POD. They seem to avoid those injuries because they never faced with the need to pick up that cheap guy, which was Sloan and Rockliffe each time. That was always the player that the people who were in the position that had to get them that picked them up. And it was the guys sitting pretty that avoided the carnage because, hey, they were already sitting pretty. So, you know, that was kind of me for the year.
Interesting perspective, because last year, I think, or the last few years, Pritis has gotten cheap at some point in the year. And if you bought him in at that cheap price, it was season defining and it made a huge difference to your team. So it can go either way. But I guess this year you bring the cheap player in and then they get injured quickly again. And then you just haven't got any money again to get anyone really good.
100%. And, you know, you then end up burning not just the trade again that goes in or out. You've got to make that extra rookie trade somewhere along the line to generate cash. And it's true. Like, obviously, who says the cheap guy isn't going to kill it for the next few weeks? But it's just another advertisement for sort of going the point of difference path, you know. I'm not trying to draw it back to when I won, but I remember I picked up, I think it was Malcheski in defense instead of Pierce Hanley, and Hanley had been killing it, and I kind of just went, stuff it, I'll go someone different. And Hanley got injured, and to be honest, I mean, that was a lucky break that almost won it for me, but I'm not saying that was planned, but it's amazing, I think, in this game how many times if you just don't follow what seems the obvious choice, it ends up being the right one. But hey, easy said with hindsight, right?
I guess it hurts when the obvious choice is the right one. I guess I'm just hoping that Hodge gets injured now, because I guess at different times he's been the obvious choice and I have bypassed him and think he's got 75% ownership in the top 2,000, so definitely a negative unique for me.
Do need a little bit of luck, I guess. All your decisions look a little bit better once things go your way, and this year it's pretty much been worst case scenario. Even when trading out Sloan was 3 to 5 weeks out, and then having Sloan come back after 3 weeks and coming back early, like there's been so many cases where just almost the worst case scenario happens, and hopefully people are still hanging on and have at least one trade left, because we've got some injury issues to deal with this week again.
Sure do.
Yeah, Beams and Wine. So before we get on to all that, let's do a proper score update for the week. So Mark, I know you smashed out a big one, so why don't you kick us off?
I think you're rigging the show here though, mate, because I did pump out a big one. I scored 25.88, but I didn't score more than everyone on the podcast this week. I think that seems a bit unfair to me. I did jump up in the rankings to 357, which was pretty good. Finally did what you asked me to do, mate, jump into the top 500.
Nice.
So hopefully I'm doing you proud there, buddy.
Close to
me. Yeah, and I've had probably a good 4 or 5 weeks where maybe I've missed the biggest carnage, or I've also seemed to have gotten on to players a little bit before someone else. Or this week my Ablett trade was to bring in Joel Selwood. I know we rated him pretty highly on the podcast last week, and I did feel like it was a pretty risky pick, but brought him in and 171 on debut. As long as he doesn't completely die on the ass from here, it's pretty gonna be pretty good. I think did I pay $200,000 less than you, Marcus, for Selwood?
Note. The sound of disgust. The moment he has a big score, you have to bring him into your side. I've had him just killing me the entire season, and you rubbing it in. Now that he scores 171, he comes in and you put him vice captain when we're at the footy together. That was painful.
What did you say about that, Marcus? I do remember going to the footy and I had him vice captain, and you were saying, nah, you got to put Goldie vice. You got to put Goldie vice. And
I said, you're a fool. I said
you
that.
Did. Yeah. And you raced it several times. And I stuck to my guns, and I think he was about 90 at halftime. And you were just shaking your head in disgust. Yeah.
Well, that's so funny. Goldie 164 in the end. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, didn't lose too much there. But look, Heath Shaw has been an absolute godsend for my team this year. He's just been playing amazing footy. 145 on the weekend. Delio 134. I think I'm probably one of the very few people that held on to Harley Bunnell. It just didn't make sense for me to trade him at different times, and I think he's done 140 and 139 in the last 2 weeks, so hopefully he can keep up that sort of action, but probably get a bit of attention in the next few weeks with no other midfielders of the Suns. How'd you guys go?
John, yeah, I think you got a bigger score, so I set you up to slam
Look,
Mark,
I've obviously...
Pacha!
And I actually played him in the weekend.
Yeah, how about that? I've timed the appearance on the podcast well. I scored 2,594, scraped the six-point win against Mark, which was nice the week leading up, but can't compete on the ranking, so I'm sitting 7,294. And look, unfortunately, that's pretty much around about the highest I've been, I think, all year. I mean, the big score this week certainly bumped me up. I've been struggling to break the 10,000 mark. I was saying earlier, I've certainly had my fair share of bad trades, injuries, guys like Brody Smith just sitting in the team and not finding ways to either get them out or just taking them out to the wrong guy. I brought Birchall in as a POD in defense, and for all of you guys considering him, I would highly recommend not bringing him in based on my experience. But in terms of the weekend, look, me too, Ablett had to go out. I brought Pritis in. It was nice to have him score 125. I just felt like I had to get some consistent scoring considering the ranking. Selwood finally pulled something out. Didn't have the guts to put the VC on him, but hey, I was watching him score what he was on the weekend, thinking it was a great call to have had him. And Mark, I took my hat off to you when I logged in and saw him as the VC. Thank God Goldie's doing what he's doing, or else I don't think that 6-point win would have taken place. But if Goldie had not pulled out another monster game, Mark would definitely have the win there on a great VC call. I would love to point out some other guys that have done well, but look, sadly, I haven't had all that many picks for the start of the year. I think Sean Higgins, of all the people I didn't think I'd be sitting here saying, he might only be averaging 96, but as a guy with his reputation, funnily enough, for defense forward swing, which I never actually got to use, he's been one of my better starting picks, and maybe that sums up my year as it's taken
Marcus
place.
Was bitching to me on the weekend about how much he wished he started Higgins.
Yeah,
I pumped him up big time on the podcast. Faz took him, and he's so grateful. And let me just throw this at you. For the first time this season, Sean Higgins is a top six defender. Would you believe that? He's in the top six averaging defenders.
Tell you what, he's been a good pickup, hasn't he? And it would be interesting to see if he becomes a midfield forward forward maybe next year if anyone's got the guts. You wouldn't think you'd pick him amongst the Martins and Greys of the world, but if he plays 22 games and he keeps pumping out a 138 like on the weekend, you'll at least consider him.
He's too good looking.
Yeah, I scored the least out of us this week, 24.98. But Marcus, still a big score. I'm still pretty happy with that because I had Oxley, Pierce, and Fife all out, giving me Maynard on field. So all things considering, Smith 64 that continues to dud it up, and Franklin 72. The rest of the team did pretty well. I can't complain. Zeeble 134 was good. Nice. Bontempelli 121. Pickin in his first week 104. It's nice to have Pickin and Hodge. Like, that looks awesome together with Shaw, obviously. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. And also back in the top 5,000, but this is my top rank for the season, 4,400th right now.
Woo.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Peaking at the right time. So I'm feeling good, guys. Feeling good.
Good to see you upbeat, mate. Well done.
Well, considering it came last, silver lining, silver
lining. You'd be doing well if you could pull out 2,500 every week.
That's the thinking. On to the league update now, and more good news. We recaptured first this week with Supercoach coach number one. So well done to the team there. It's awesome to see that we're represented at first again.
Good job. Still 8 of the top 10, I think.
And Supercoach FBD moved in 5 spots to 13th. So 9 of the top 13.
FBD, FB Donkey, yeah.
To our group leaders, the top score was Swaggy B. He got the 18th top score for the week with 2704. That was huge. And that shot him up into the top 5,000. So well done to you. And the big news, Travis.
Big news.
Travis with 2561 moves into first. What? 3 weeks ago, he dropped out to about 18th. So this is a massive effort from Travis. A few big scores in a row. Well done to him. And his brother posted an update on our social media account on the weekend. Got quite a few likes in support of Travis, but he doesn't want to jinx it. So hopefully he decides to come on the show and speak to us. But otherwise, good luck to you anyway, Travis. And well done. 5 rounds to go. Hopefully you can keep it up.
Yeah, he's been top 10 most of the year.
Pretty exciting at the top there as well. Like, looking at the scores between him, is what first is drawn right now. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. This close to the end of the season, hasn't been that way in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
When you won, I remember you had a bit of a lead with a couple of weeks to go, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Coming into the last week, I think I had 300 points maybe to second. But hey, it didn't stop the nerves, I've got to say. That's exciting. Yeah. I wish my team was sitting there for how much excitement you get out of those last few weeks. But geez, it was nerve-wracking even despite that lead. So these guys must be feeling it with only a few hundred points separating 1 and 10.
I get nervous playing my cash league finals.
So if you need advice on how to handle the nerves, Travis, message John and he can help you out.
Oh, geez. I was a mess even just watching that last game. I can't remember. It might have been Pendlebury or someone that I didn't have was just pumping out a massive score, and you sort of go through the scenarios. But yeah, these guys will be watching every single hand pass.
Cometti's Legions, 24-37. So that's coach. Got rid of Ablett, so a better score this week, but still slid a bit, 43rd. And Nate Snags coming in 6 spots to 51st with 25.04. So well done to the top 100 guys there.
I was speaking to Nate over the weekend, and he said he's still in the Supercoach Cup. So 32 teams left, and missing Navarra on the line.
Wow, that's exciting. So getting down to the pointy end, good luck to everybody out there and to all the flag bearers and the people holding our leagues up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't forget, on a Tuesday, you can ask us questions for the show at SupercoachCoach on Twitter and on Facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. This week, the main topics are Beams. He's a confirmed out this week, which is unfortunate. Another season-ending injury to deal with this week. And Ollie Wines. There's question marks over him and his dislocated shoulder and whether he'll have the same fate as Dane Beams and see the rest of his season wiped out. Port Adelaide, of course, mathematically in the hunt, and Ken Hinckley staying a bit mysterious about it all. So we'll get into all of it this week. First question this week is from David Siddles, and he has both Beams and Wines.
Wow.
But wait for this, which is even more of a wow. 6 trays and 130K left in the bank. Wow.
Jesus.
Good on you, mate. At least you've got ways to deal with it. Well, top up and still have 4 trades to go, so that's good. And he's looking at the top 2 mids this week, and he's nominated Hannabury and Pritis, who were front runners for last week. Obviously, Selwood, after his 171, jumps right up into conversation, but we obviously had a similar topic last week. Has anything changed much for you, Mark?
Look, I think that Selwood probably confirmed that he should be held up there with those guys, and one of the main reasons for that is that he has actually a history of averaging higher than either of those guys in the past. And if you look at the way he's come home a couple of times in the last few years, he can average 130, 140 over a stretch. I mean, I obviously picked Selwood last week, so I thought he'd put his nose in front ahead of those guys, and I'd probably say that's, I think, even more so like that this week.
Of course you'd confirm your thoughts after 171.
171.
It was a big call. I know you posted it on the forum and it didn't get the most traction. So it was a bigger call last week to have him in our top three, which we all did last week. So I hope a few people took to that advice.
I'm guessing they did, mate, because my mate Nate listened to the show and said that he ended up picking Selwood.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Timo, thoughts on Selwood or Hanbury or Pritis, or who would you pick as the top scoring option?
I find it difficult to say it because I've held Selwood for so long through the trough. I remember picking him up cheap and thinking it was an obvious trade, and it's only been this week that the old Selwood's suddenly appeared, but he could be the one to go with, to be honest. I mean, with Bartel and Kelly fit again, Motlop seems to be sort of taking it to another level the last couple of weeks. It's clearly taken a bit of heat off Selwood and he's back to his best. So, I mean, my instinct says Hanbury are pretty safe. And, I mean, if he's picking Selwood up for a beams, he's sort of making money as well, which, depending on the rest of his team, could well be something worth doing. So it's pretty hard to look past Selwood. At this point of the season, I wouldn't be emphasising value too much. I'd almost be telling the guy to spend the cash, you know, why hold it in the bank at this point of the season. But as it stands, Selwood looks like he's about to do his thing for the last five rounds, so it's pretty hard to go by him. If I was going to pick one, long story short, I think I would say Selwood at this point.
Even though he scored that 171, and I do love Selwood, I think I'm still going to stick to my pick last week of Hanbury over Selwood, because Selwood does have, well, Geelong have Sydney this week and then Hawthorn the week after, St Kilda, and then Collingwood, Adelaide, which are both probably elimination final type games if we can't get up in the next 2 weeks. So just a lot on the line and potentially losing games, which might hurt his scoring. So just because of the opposition, I do think I'll stick with Hanbury, and he scored 134 and was dominant on the weekend. And I do think he's one of the top two, three players in the AFL at the moment. Like, he's dominant force. He's second in the AFL coaches' votes at the moment. Can't talk more highly of him. So if you have the cash, he's my absolute number one choice.
Pritis seems like the safest choice for the reasons that John outlined. He's just good at posting that 100 plus every week. Selwood probably the most riskiest. But Hanbury seems like he's sort of safe and high scoring as well. So he sort of scores on both of those elements.
This week, we're also going to look to the finals. Finals start this week in Supercoach, because we're not playing finals in round 23 anymore because of the amount of resting that happened. So because of that, I've looked at the runs of teams on the way home. So I think Hanbury also, just again, Geelong, Collingwood, GWS, St Kilda and Gold Coast. And Sydney have a sick run. So if not Hanbury, even Josh Kennedy or Parker, if you already have Hanbury but you have Beams or Wines, any of the Sydney blokes, they do have a really spectacular run on the way home, and hopefully they can punch out some big points.
Yeah, and Parker's quite cheap at 528, and I think that people with Ollie Wines, and as he scored so low and dropped a fair bit of cash, they're going to be looking for cheap options. And I think Parker's a pretty good one.
And of course, there's David Mundy, who we mentioned last week, in the same class with Hanbury and Pritis. These are all expensive options, obviously. So if you have Wines and you can't afford this range of players, is there anybody that you guys like closer to, you know, that 500,000 bracket? There's Armitage. He's dropped after a few quieter ones, but, you know, he's averaging 110 for the season. Same with Montagna. Trent Cochin, Richmond coming home strong. He's averaging 104.
Pretty hard to pick the guys around that level at this point. I mean, if it's out of desperation, of the ones that you just mentioned, I think Cochin's got a few runs on the board. I mean, the Tigers are clearly in form. You know, I am a Tigers fan, so I say that with apprehension because anything's possible. But he does have that spark about him. It wasn't that long ago that everyone was talking about Cochin as being the next sort of 120, 130 averaging super coach player. I think he's got it in him. He's clearly changed his game. If you were to sort of compare him to an Armitage, Montagna, you'd have to back the Tigers with the form they're showing in the sort of role. And I mean, Richmond's midfield, it's been pretty dominant in the contested possession. So, I mean, I think of those guys you mentioned, Marcus, Cochin is certainly the one I'd pick. I don't know, would you go Heppel? Marky's sitting at, I think, close to 500.
Yeah, I don't think I'd pick any Bombers, to be honest, mate.
It's a bit hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to peter out pretty badly over the rest of the year. Hep's He played a good second half on the weekend, but there wasn't much up for stakes in that half. And yeah, I don't think he's going to average 110 plus. Yeah, I think you're better off going for a player from a team that's in contention. Yeah, Cochin, he's had 3 games under 100 in a row, which is definitely concerning bringing him in. But I think he's looked really good in all those games. He's really held his form. And if you could get his set shot for goal kicking under wraps, then I think that he would become an absolute elite midfielder. And he has a good chance of averaging 110 from here and can post a 150. So yeah, I think around the 500,000 mark or and below, I think he is the standout pick.
I think that question is relevant because we've got people like Dion here who ask, is it worth using two trades to go to Selwood or use the one and pick in that sort of range instead? Dion only has 3 trades left. So that's when you get into a really, really sticky situation where it's very unlikely that that extra downgrade to bring in the better premium is going to be worth more points than saving that trade for an injury instead. So I think Cochin, like you said, Mark, does seem like a good pick at under 500k.
You can't be using 2 trades to cover injuries anymore. I think you'd be better off bringing in a dual position mid-forward that's still a bit cheaper. If you don't have Bontempelli, even him over double trading, I think you'll end up getting more points. That'll be much better than doing a double trade, I think.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Off the midfield trades now, and we did talk about quite a few midfield options last week already with Gazza, so hopefully you guys are across it and can make a good decision if you have Beams or Wines, and, you know, it is unfortunate news. Beams, you have to move on. Wines, there is some hope that he'll come back, so...
Can I just raise one other... player because he's 453 and cheaper than Wines. What about Rory Sloane?
Yeah, he was on the run sheet and then I struck him off because we did mention him last week and then he scored 75 and we were not inspired by the pick last week. And I think
lots of people took him last week, heaps.
But I think it's the easy pick, like John was mentioning before, when you're running low on cash and trades, often you get stuck trading back into players that are coming back from injury. In Sloane's case, he hasn't shown a turn to form yet. And if you look at his last 8 games, obviously they've been injury affected and whatnot, but he's scored more than 101 of the last 8. So even though he's cheap, I think I'd rather bring in a mid forward, like you were mentioning before, Mark. Brent Harvey at 470, Brendan Goddard at 480. I think I'd rather take a risk on those guys, open up some sort of DPP action if you've got steel stuck in your forward line. Yeah, I think I'd rather do that than take Sloane, to be honest.
Fair points.
Moving on to rookies now, Tom Barras is on the bubble for anyone that happens to be downgrading. He's a backman. Either of you know about Tom?
Look, I can't say I've got any inside word. The only thing I'd say is maybe unless you needed a guy to be scoring for you on field, which would seem unlikely in defence, I'd probably be more recommending bringing in just a dud defensive mid or a forward mid link, or even if you've got a Higgins defence forward and try and open that up for a downgrade if you needed it. But look, a rookie defender, he's going to be in the side for a pretty brief period, you'd think, with West Coast trying to shore up their position, so pass to me.
Yeah, I think McGovern could be back this week.
All right, so the final topic for the week this week is a look to the finals. So I'm looking at the teams that have got a good run home for this Supercoach final series. And of course, also relevant for anyone looking for overall finish as well. So I've done a little bit of research prior to the show and I'm going to toss the 4 names out straight away that I identified. And they all happen to be good teams as well, which really, really helps because sometimes you're playing what seems to be easy opposition, but in a really even AFL competition this year, fixtures are sometimes hard to predict. So Fremantle, Hawthorn, Richmond and Sydney are the teams I identified. Fremantle has St Kilda, West Coast, North and then the grand final against Melbourne. Hawthorn has West Coast, Geelong, Port Adelaide and a grand final against Brisbane. Richmond has Adelaide, Gold Coast, Collingwood and a grand final against Essendon. And Sydney, Geelong, Collingwood, GWS and a grand final against St Kilda. So not only do they all have great grand final teams, not only are they all top 4 contenders, they don't play any other of the top 4 teams in that run except for Frio, who have the showdown next week. But if you get the week off in the prelim final, you'll miss that. They certainly look like by far and away the standouts. What a coincidence that all the big teams get the easy runs.
I do remember the first 6 weeks of the season, all the potential big teams were playing each other. I guess that was just to get our attention, was it? The downside of what you're saying is that if you're playing a weaker team like Sydney playing St Kilda in grand final week, it might not be a great thing because it means that they're more likely to rest. So you almost want them playing a middle of the road team.
But I think we're lucky this year because the top four is very live. And not only that, the top two is very live. And all these teams want to secure it because we got two Perth teams in the top four this year, potentially forcing some finals over there. So I don't know. I wouldn't be necessarily so worried. Sydney have got a bit of work to do and they want to build some form as well. Even, I mean, after the Hawks lost that game to Richmond, now they need to shore up top two spot. You know, Richmond are obviously going to keep pumping hard to force their way into the top four if they can. I think it's very live this season, unlike previous seasons.
I've got to say, Fremantle versus Melbourne at Patterson's round 22 is the one I'd be most nervous about. To me, that's the one I can see mass rests taking place. You know, it's in Perth. It's Ross Lyon. And look, like, Fremantle 6 points clear. That one makes me nervous in terms of the run home.
Yeah.
I like your Richmond suggestion. I mean, Gold Coast at the G and Essendon, MCG, nighttime, round 22, seems like they could be decent scoring affairs, especially, you know, Richmond will go hard if they want that top four. But I don't know, I feel like Sydney, I agree, I can see them trying to come home strong. I wouldn't be so worried about them in that grand final week resting too many people at Etihad. You know, they might need to win that to stay top four.
Yeah, I think you're right to bring up Freo, because I think when you look at the ladder too and the run, they're the ones who probably have the most points to rely upon and cushion on and therefore rest. So anyway, we'll just chuck out some names from the team. So we've got Mundy from Freo. Anybody else that you guys like for Fremantle?
No one jumps out for me.
Yeah, Hawthorne, we've got Luke Hodge, and then Jordan Lewis and Sam Mitchell, I think both should be considered with their good runs home, especially Jordan Lewis. If you look at the last few weeks, he's started to turn it around, and we know that they like to finish strong and that Lewis isn't a spud. He can perform on a big final stage. So 125, 92, 96, 150, and 121. Don't be surprised if he comes home with a bang with their run.
Hodgie's definitely going to have a rest, maybe even a couple of weeks.
Because you don't have him. No, I like the Hodge pick's been an amazing one. One of the wins I've had. I like Lewis too. I still think he was a great pick at the start of the year, just with the couple of weeks off he had and then that little lull period. But I just have this feeling that if he was sitting around the price he was, he'd be one of my first pick next year. I like him as a run home guy for sure.
And then Richmond, we've got Alex Rant, and out of the four teams that we've mentioned, he's probably the premier defender. So Rant is certainly a top backline option. And we've got Cochin, who we've already mentioned. Jack Riewoldt maybe is a smoky if Richmond can get out to some big wins against perhaps Gold Coast or Essendon in a grand final with Jack Riewoldt. That might be a big game there. So he's certainly a smoky option to consider specifically for finals. And then, of course, Brett Delidio, Mark's favourite guy. And if you have the cash to get him, he's probably the must-have player almost, especially just because his selection numbers aren't very high. It's been expensive all season.
Yeah, four goals in the weekend.
And for Sydney, unfortunately, Franklin and Mitchell have tapered off, so I don't think we can really recommend either of them, or would you guys recommend Mitchell?
No, I think you're going a bit early saying he's tapered off, but no, definitely wouldn't recommend bringing him in now.
No, I can see him going back to playing the role where he spends a bit less time in the clearance versus the Parker, Jackson, McVays of the world, Hannabrees, as they get closer to finals. He seems to, whenever the stakes get really high, the horse seems to push him outside those main midfield rotations for some reason.
I do think out of the three Sydney boys, even though I do love Hannabree, I think he's a super, super pick with a great run home. They've also got Gold Coast as round 23. Luke Parker, because he plays more forward time, if they get onto a big win, he has tendencies to get into some pretty big scores in big wins. So he could maybe even shade Hannabree and beat him in the last five rounds. So
it's a big call.
Yeah. He was their best and fairest last year. So just a little bit of a smoky there. And yeah, with that wraps up this week's show. It's been great to have you on, Dimmer, for the first time this season. We've waited for you to get back, so it's been great.
Thanks, guys. And look, always happy to come on. And yeah, hopefully we can all finish the season well.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, if you've got any more great captain advice for me, Marcus, this week, just let me know and I'll know to reject it.
Yeah. I'll be sweating on the Geelong-Sydney game, because if we can get one of the next two, it'll really help our finals chances, and I think Sydney are a little bit of an easier chance than Hawthorne at the moment, so fingers crossed for the Cats, and all the best to your Richmond Tigers, mate. I think at least out of the three of us, you probably have the most to look forward to this September.
Yeah, look, I don't want to jinx them by saying anything more other than that. It's been exciting seeing them turn around.
I'm on board,
man. Lid on.
Nice and tight, for sure.
Yeah. All right, and with that, we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See you guys.
Yeah.